You know, the day has come. And you're going, what day is that? Today, we wrap up the book of Philippians. Today is the last passage in the book of Philippians. And all of a sudden, we come to the end of the book of joy. And what a great thing. So, just let me ask a question here. Do you feel more joyful today than you did earlier this year when we started? I hope so. I love it when I ask questions and there's just blank stares. It's great. Let me ask another question. How did we do with the 90-day challenge? Do we need to start another one? Is that what we need to do? You know, isn't it amazing when you embark on something like that, you find that things happen. You know, when we started that in February, nobody had a clue that we were going to be experiencing what we are experiencing in the last couple of months as a church, as a nation, any of this. And how incredible is it that God goes, all right, we're going to try you out on this one. And sometimes we come to the end and we go, oh, well, yeah, maybe I need to do that one again. But you know, what an incredible book it has been. And I love how Paul wraps this whole thing up. And we're going to see at the very end an incredible picture. But in the end of this, out of the final greeting, we see an incredible picture of family. So turn with me in your Bibles. If you're using a pew Bible, it's in page 820. But we're going to look at the last few verses there. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 21. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now you look at that and you go, that really doesn't say a whole lot about family. It uses the term brother and sister. But really, this is an incredible picture of what a family is. But before we even go into that, I simply want to ask you this question. How would you define family? This is an incredibly hard thing to do. As a matter of fact, as I was thinking about that this week, and I'm going, you know, how would I define family? I did what I tend to do. I went and found it up. I found out what the definition was. And I found that there was no one definition of family. As a matter of fact, I found one definition that said, the family is a group consisting of parents and children living together in a household. Definition number one. All right. You may look at that and go, sure, that's exactly it. Another definition that I found was all descendants of a common ancestry. All right, I can see that. This week I was able to go up to Cook, Minnesota, where we placed Lynn's parents in the ground to be with their family. And I met family I had never met before. And it was such an incredible thing. But that's part of a common ancestry. Then I found this one. You know, Wikipedia is truth. And their definition of family was this. Family is defined as the co-residence and the organization by kinship that are both integral in the development of the concept of family. A co-residential group that makes up a household may share general survival goals and a residence, but may not fulfill the varied and sometimes ambiguous requirements for the definition of the family. Now that made it crystal clear. I walked away from that one going, oh, now I know what family means. Family is one of the hardest things to define, isn't it? Because we're finding family, as according to Wikipedia, is something that may not fit the defined requirements or desire of the family. and maybe ambiguous. Now, there's one thing that I've found in life, that when you have a question about life, the best place to turn to is the Bible. Not Wikipedia, okay? The Bible. The best place to turn to, and if you don't know what that answer is, you might find the answer while you're looking for it. And in the Bible, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about family. It has a lot to say about the family of God. And one of the things that we talk about a lot is that we are the family of God. Paul, in this passage, he called others brothers and sisters. Were those his biological brothers and sisters? No, those were the family of God. And he says, here we are, the family of God. So if he calls them the family, there is a biblical concept, definition of what the family of God is. Therefore, it also would flow over into what does the nuclear family look like? What are some things that we should understand in this? And in this passage, believe it or not, we actually see three components that are necessary to make up the family of God and therefore the nuclear family. So let's see what Paul has to say. Again, in this, we look and we see that one of the base necessities for family is connection. We have to have a connection. In some way, we are connected to one another. Paul says we are brothers and sisters. Why? Because of the connection. So, you know, we look at that and we go, well, what's the connection? Well, in my family, I have two brothers. You heard me talk about two older brothers. How many of you have siblings? Anybody? Okay. Now, our family connection built our relationship. My brothers and I today, I believe we have a very good, strong relationship. We love each other, and we would do anything for each other if the need was there. But I have to admit, while I look up to my brothers, I respect my brothers, I have no problems against them. Probably today, if we were in the same place, not family, I don't know if we would be good friends. But I tell you what, because of our connection, we have the same parents, we have the same mom, same dad, we lived in the same home, we have the same experiences that we've gone through. All of these similarities drew us together and connected us so that now when we come together, there's no question, we are family. Now, the other part of it is we may look a little bit alike as well. That is one of the, I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse in our family, but we look alike. But we're connected in many other ways. As the family of God, we are connected. You know, we're not connected because you attend Plymouth Alliance Church. That's like living in the same house, but being ambiguous in what it's defined. We are all part of the family of God. We are children of God. We are connected in this way. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and look at what this says now. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is a really good thing for us to say because we as the family don't simply live with one another. We don't exist simply. We go much deeper. There's that connection that is there and we do good to the family of God. You know what? Families, do you always get along? No. No. There's times that in family there's conflicts. There's times that you don't get along. You know what? I may have punched my brother in the nose once. My brother may have shot me with a BB gun in the knee once. There was a lot of things that we did to one another. But the fact of the matter is, we were family because we are connected. And nothing can come between that. Do you feel the same way as the church family? Are you connected because of who Christ is? John chapter 1, verse 12, he simply says it this way, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Now here's the reality of this. It was not anything that you made happen. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the right. You became a child of God. And you know what? Whether you like this person over here, if they are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, you're family. Because we're connected. In Galatians 3:26, "So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith." We're all part of this. We're all connected. How many of you are part of Ancestry.com? Anybody here done that Ancestry.com? Really? I'm amazed. No one? All right. Well, man, I better just move on now. Why do people do these Ancestry things? Why do they test their DNA to see whether or not they're Swedish, Norwegian, German, or a Heinz 57 mix, whatever it is? Why do people do that? You know the one answer that usually comes back? I want to find my connection. I want to find who my family is. I want to know I'm a part of something. We are the family due to our connection to Jesus. And understand, we're starting here, but due to our connection with Jesus, all of our spiritual ancestry goes directly through the cross. And that makes us family. But it doesn't stop there. It's not just family is family because we're connected, because that makes for a dysfunctional family, doesn't it? I mean, there's plenty out there that maybe, sadly, some of you may not have any conversation with a, quote, family member. You may not be in talking. But understand what Paul says here. He goes, family goes beyond a biological connection, and it goes to caring for one another. Caring is the next step. Paul says a family cares for one another. You know, it's funny. Have you ever been in a room with somebody who gets on the phone, someone calls, they're on the phone with a family member or a close friend or something like that, and they're talking and you're listening and it sounds like everything's wrapping up. Do you do this? Do you say, hey, say hi from me? Or greet your family for me. Do you ever do that? Why do we do that? Actually, the answer is simple, because we care. We want the person on the other end of the line to know that we care about them, even though we're not necessarily talking to them on the phone. We care. 1 Peter 2:17 says it this way, "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor." Now, this is an interesting thing where it says, love the family, but honor the emperor. Why didn't it say love the emperor? Well, maybe one is because the emperor wasn't in the family of God. That may have been one simple answer. So we're to honor him. But the other part of it is we are to give a level of care to the family that goes beyond other relationships in our lives. We are to care more than that. Romans 12:10 says it, "Be devoted to one another in love." You know, have you ever looked at that word devoted? That's not just be nice to one another. That is in everything that you can do with all of your being, with the core of who you are, love one another. This is the call of the family, and to honor one another above yourself. This is the command of the family. In 1988, in a December episode of the Focus on the Family publication, a study was done of more than 500 families. And what they were looking for was, what were the top traits of successful families? Now, how many of you would feel that, you know what, we have a successful family? You know, I look at it and I go, I feel that we have a successful family. Do we do everything perfect? Absolutely not. Do we have struggles? Yep, we do. Are there times that we say things? Absolutely. Even in pastors' homes, it's not perfect. Some of you are going, what? Oh, no. No. But look at what Focus on the Family found. They said these are the top traits of a family. And I want you to listen. Listen for kind of a common ground in this. They communicate and listen well. They are affirming and supporting of one another. They respect one another. They develop a sense of trust. They share time and responsibility. They know right from wrong. I like this one. They have rituals and traditions, things that they do as a family that may not be done by everybody, but things that they do. They share a religious core. They respect privacy. Now, let me ask you this question. Out of all of those things that were listed, did you sense a common denominator in most of those that come back to this very point? Families care for one another. When I'm respecting someone's privacy, what do? I care about them. When I accept who they are and respect them, what do? I care. When I am affirming and supporting of someone, what am I doing? I say that I care. Dads, when you tell your sons that you're proud of them, your daughters that you're proud of them, what are you saying? I care. When you tell your wife you love her, what are you saying? I care. These are the things that make successful families. So let me put it this way. If you're looking at your family today and going, you know what, we're really not all that successful, there's some of the things that you can start with doing. Care for the family. You know, as I looked at that definition on Wikipedia, family, as part of their definition, they said things may not be evident, fulfilled, and ambiguous at times. There is one thing that cannot be ambiguous in the family of God, nor in the nuclear family, and that is that we care for one another. That defines family. Family is connected. Family cares. And then Paul brings in a third one, and this one we understand a little bit more, but it's commonality. Family has a commonality. Now, this isn't connection. This is a commonality. You may have heard the statement that says the family that prays together stays together. Now, some of you may have other things in there. You know, a family that hunts together stays together, whatever. But there's these long lists. But do you understand what that statement is saying? A family that has a commonality within the family is a stronger family. When we do things together and enjoy doing those things together, it is something that draws the family in. You know me growing up, I was in a family that we were always in sports. If we weren't playing in a sport, we were playing a sport outside, pickup games, whatever it was, we were doing something. When we were in college, we got involved in the community's two-on-two sand volleyball tournament. The first year, it was our family, my brothers and I. And what was amazing was this, because it was a common ground that we all enjoyed, our whole family went. The parents, they filled up a cooler, we brought the food, we spent the day there together as the family. What was amazing for us to watch was, we did this for a few years, each year our family got a little bigger. Because the family of God started to connect with that commonality. Then all of a sudden, we have multiple teams from our church body that was going to play sand volleyball, and their families were coming, and we have this great big group together enjoying the time together because of a commonality. And we loved one another. We were encouraging one another. We were cheering for one another when they were playing their games. It was such an exciting, fun time to have. Commonality is something that brings strength and a bond to the family. And that's Paul. He puts it this way. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. Do you know what he was saying there? He goes, this is our commonality, is to be of one spirit. Acts 4:32, it says these words, all believers were one in heart and mind. I love that. The family was all one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. Now, I want you to notice something. Our connection as the family of God is in what? In Jesus Christ. Our commonality is in what? Jesus Christ. Unity of the believers. Everything that we do, our whole value system resonates through Jesus Christ. So we're connected because of Jesus, but we function out of the heart of Christ. We are of one mind and one heart. Paul says it again in 2 Corinthians 13:11. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." There it is again. Once again, the mind of Christ. Now, I want you to look at something that's interesting. We've been going through the book of Philippians, and now I want you to go back a couple of chapters, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, because you're going to see something that's really cool here. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul says these words, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ," let's stop there. Do you see what that is? There's the connection in Christ. We are connected in Christ, okay? Then if you have any encouragement, be united with Christ. Connection. If any comfort from His love. If any sharing in the Spirit. You know what that is? Commonality. Commonality. If any comfort in His love, any sharing in the Spirit, commonality, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Look at that again. Commonality once again. Being of the same mind. Being one in spirit, commonality, and one mind, commonality. Isn't it amazing when you look at how God works His Word? We see the connection as the family, and then we see how that connection forms into caring for one another and then goes on into the common ground in which we move forward. This is the life that we have. I shared with you three definitions, but I came across a fourth, and it broke my heart. And this is the definition that I found, because it misses all three points that we just made. The definition says a family is a group of people who all have keys to the same house. Isn't that just horrible? You see, this is the reality of what we're seeing in our culture of today. Back in the 90s, we started hearing the phrase latchkey kids. There were kids going home from school in elementary school. They had keys to the home, and they were simply told, "Go home, lock the door behind you, and just don't get into trouble. We'll be home later in the evening." And what we're seeing today, what has happened, and, you know, I could go way off the whole pathway right now. I'm going to stay on it. But we're seeing that the family of today has dispersed, and the only connection that the family has is that they all have keys to the same home. As the church family, we are connected. We care for one another. We have a commonality that builds a stronger relationship. We're connected to Jesus Christ. This morning, let me ask you this question, whether you're sitting here in the church today or whether you're listening online, can I ask you, are you part of the family? Are you part of the family? Now, you may be saying, well, of course I'm part of the family. I go to church. Maybe your story is, I've gone to Plymouth Alliance for 15 years, 20 years. You know what? You can be a long-term guest and not be family. Because the reality of it is family happens when we have the connection in Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted the work of the cross that He paid for you when we celebrated communion together? Was that your declaration? If it is, then you're family. If not, you're a guest that needs to become family. As the family, we care for one another. Do you love your family? Do you love your church family? Or are you at contention with your church family more often than not? Do you love your family? You know, there's nothing more exciting than to see families that put their arm around one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. We have a commonality in Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of the Great Commission. This is a little different part of the question. Do you like being part of the family? You know, there's people out there that are like, oh, I wish I had a different family. Do you like your family? Do you like being part of the family? Then let me give us this encouragement. We're family, warts and all. But the greatest part of the family is it's ever growing. We are gathering more and more into this wonderful family, and we welcome with open arms, and we say, come and be a part of who we are for Jesus Christ. And you know what? We're going out there. We're not just saying, come. We're not opening our doors, folks. What we want to say is we want to go out and find more for our family. You know, it's really exciting because we're going, you know, we are now at phase two in the Sheboygan County. We can now be at 50% capacity. And we're going, that's great. You know what? I want to be at 110 because we are that family. And we are bringing others in because of Jesus Christ. Now, as we close the book of Philippians. We close our time this morning. Can I put this whole thing, these last verses, into just a little bit of perspective? Remember, as we were talking about Philippians, there's three themes. Three themes. You remember those three themes? Last pop quiz for this. Joy. It's the book of joy. Theme number two. Unity of the body. Unity of the family. Theme number three, the advancement of the gospel. Now look at this. As the family, as Paul closes this, as the family, we have joy in the family. As the family, we have unity in Christ. As the family, we share Jesus to add to our family. All three themes embedded in that last couple of verses. Isn't it good to be a part of the family? Let's pray. Father, this morning, I just want to simply say thank you. What's an amazing thing is even when we see babies coming into a family, the love is incredible. It doesn't matter whether we've been a lifelong part of this family or we just became a part of this family this week. We love one another because we are connected in Christ. We are unified. We care for one another. And we have a common ground in fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus Christ together. Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would rest on our family here. And that we would be such an incredible example of what it means to love, what it means to care, what it means to go. And we want to do it not because we just want to have a good time together, but because we want others to see Jesus Christ in us. Lord, thank you for our family. We love our family because we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.